Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to welcome all of our campuses today. Just a big what's happening, all the things that are taking place online as well as all of our campuses across the region. I just believe God is doing great things. The report I'm hearing from all the different campuses and our dream centers are just amazing of reaching people. I was with our campus pastors this week and we were talking about the things that took place during our Easter season, during our Easter weekend. God, that was fantastic. Great season of ministry. So we're just excited. I want to share a message today with not only our Highland campus, but all of our campuses. And just some things that God has dropped in my heart about the joy of the Lord. Hey, why don't we clap our hands for all of those that have joined us through the campus, also online. I did something extremely odd last night. It was kind of out of the routine. How many knows when you get a little older, you just enjoy a routine. We were out of town Friday night at a basketball tournament. I was sleeping. We stayed at a little hotel and was sleeping in a little bed, and it was not my bed, and I wasn't real sure about the... How many also get germophobia at times? Anybody got germophobia? I just had some germophobia moments, and so I just kind of slept on top of the covers. Come on, somebody. Just okay, and it wasn't my own bed, so I just didn't sleep much, just out of the routine, sleeping somewhere I'm not real used to, and me and my son. And then last night came home, and I normally study at home, and got a little area I like to study in and read and do that during the week, and just kind of got my little place that I'm starting to enjoy and just enjoy those things. But did some out of the routine last night. I just felt like in my heart that just the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about coming up here and praying and spending some time up here praying. And so came up here last night and began to walk around praying late last night. And just kind of out of the routine, took my Bible and just walked around and sat in different places all throughout the arena. Just prayed for you and prayed for people that I was thinking about that God brought on my heart. And just began to pray about some thoughts about what He would say to us, because there were some thoughts I had earlier in the week. But last night I just kind of felt a change. Just kind of felt like maybe those thoughts were for me personally, and that God wanted to say something different to us this morning as we dive into His Word. And so just spending some time doing that. And while I was walking around just praying throughout the church, I really felt like God showed me something. And I just want to say it the way I felt like the Lord showed me. I want to stay right along with that. And I don't say that lightly, that I felt like the Lord showed me something. You know, yeah, I don't know if you've ever run into somebody and God talks to them. I mean, like texts them every single hour. I mean, it's like, whoa, what's up, man? You hear it a lot. I don't hear it like that. But I really felt like the Lord impressed something on my heart. And I don't say that with just something flippantly. I think it's very important. But I want to give it to you as I got it. Is that okay? Can I have a good amen? I just want to give it to you exactly the way that I felt like the Lord downloaded in my heart. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, and just kind of show you what the Lord dropped on me that I believe is for us. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 through 11. This is a great scripture. This is a great book. Nehemiah was called to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And he got there and God blessed him. God strengthened him, fought some battles, had to persevere a little bit, came up against some obstacles, but stayed focused, kept moving forward. And God helped him, put a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand, moved forward, built the wall. And after the wall was built, then they came together to dedicate the wall. And not only to dedicate the wall, but to dedicate themselves. So that's one of the things that I'm praying about next week. Not only will we dedicate this space, but what I'm praying next week, and that's why it's so important to be here, is that we also dedicate our hearts. We dedicate our lives along with this opportunity that we have to experience reaching people from this facility. And this is what happened in the book of Nehemiah. I want to pick up in chapter 8, verse 5 through 11. It says, Ezra opened the book. Ezra was kind of a contemporary of Nehemiah, so Ezra was a part of those things also. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened the book, the people all stood up. And I love this. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And it talks about all the different Levites that were there, all the people that were there to instruct the people in the wall while the people were standing. The Bible says that they stood there a long time. And then let's pick up in verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear. Isn't it good when the word of God becomes clear to us? It made it clear. They made it clear. And it goes on to say that, and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. It's one thing to go to church. It's another thing to understand what happened at church. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to understand the Word of God and bring application to your life. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, this is great, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Isn't it interesting how you can read the Bible or you can hear a song like we were singing this morning, how great is our God, or you can go through worship there at the campuses, or a scripture can be read during our prayer time or during our offering. Isn't it amazing how it'll touch your heart in all different emotional. You can listen to a song and all of a sudden feel joy when you didn't feel joy. You can read a scripture and all of a sudden the scripture speaks to your heart and you think about the goodness of God. And so the people are going through these different emotions. And Nehemiah just says it. They all say, no. This is a time to rejoice in God. Nehemiah says this, and this is the key verse. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and spend some time with and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Nehemiah says, it's the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. I want you to hear that Baton Rouge Dreamstone. I want you to hear that Donaldsonville, St. Francis, for all of our campuses. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Our strength. Verse 11, and Levites calmed all the people and said, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. I love that chapter. I love that verse. Verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, this entire chapter, chapter 8, is about an entire group of people that came together, that gathered together to worship and to thank God for what he had done for them. As they watched God's hand, and as they watched God's hand in their life, you know what they wanted to do in this moment? They wanted to dedicate themselves more to God. They wanted to devote themselves more to God. And they just got together and they said, all that God's done, let's stay dedicated. Let's stay devoted. Let's agree with God. Let's connect with his word. And let's just high five one another. And let's be grateful and thankful for what he has done through all these things. We're going to stay together in God. We're going to stay tender towards his word. And not only are we going to stay tender, we are going to be thrilled about it. Can I have a good amen? There's a big difference between living life and living life thrilled about it. Thrilled about it. As he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. As they were being tender before God, he said, I want you to be tender, but I also want you to be thrilled about how God's hand has been on your life. Look around and enjoy it. See, as we stand together here in this house or at our campus, we have an opportunity in our life to say yes to his joy being our strength. It didn't say the joy of ourself is our strength. Come on, somebody. It didn't say the joy of this world is our strength. It didn't say that the joy of a transaction or a joy of all the things around us is our strength. It actually says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our joy is of God, and it gives strength into our life. Our joy is God's joy. Our joy is God's joy, and it becomes strength for our life. I think this is so needed today. I think true joy is. I'm not talking about temporary happiness, but I'm talking about a joy that is beyond the things. The things. You ever got a thing fired up about it? And you were fired up about like a bottle rocket. Can I have a good event? Woo! Boom. That's it. That's all it is. I'm talking about a joy that's beyond that. A joy that lasts. A joy that sustains. So I was praying last night. I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of downloaded some joy factors for us. I want to give them to you, some joy factors. I want to give them to you, and I want you to receive them. Here's the first thing that I felt like the Lord said. He said, tell the people to pursue what is my joy. Pursue what is my joy. You know what we've got to do? We've got to make sure we have discovered what makes God joyful. If His joy is our strength, then if I'm going to walk in strength for my family, my life, the things that I face, in my business, in my home, if I'm going to have strength, and how many today we know, you and I both know we need supernatural strength. Face the temptations, face all the crazes, negative, doubt, things that drain us. So if we're going to have strength in our life and we're going to walk in strength, then if it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength, then I need to know what makes God joyful. Because if I can find out what makes God joyful, then I'm going to tap into the strength that I need for daily, weekly, monthly, come on somebody, and hourly living. I mean, sometimes you need a dose of strength hourly. Come on, somebody with three toddlers at the house, talk to me. With a staff of 100 people or working a company or building something or working with a group of people or all the things that are on you. We need daily, hourly strength. Say, well, what is it that makes the Lord joyful? There's a scripture in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, gives us a key to it. This is the parable of the lost sheep, goes into the parable of the lost coin, then goes into the story of the parable of the lost son. Verse 7 says this, I'll tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Do you know when there's a party in heaven? Do you know when there's joy in God? When somebody who is lost comes to know Him. When somebody who is lost comes to know Him. It peaks the joy meter for God Almighty. I mean, it is the peak of the joy meter for God. It's the picture of the prodigal dad who, when his son is coming home from sin and craziness, begins to rejoice. Why? Because hell is being plummeted and heaven is being populated. That's what brings God joy. That's what makes God rejoice. You and I deciding to live our life on loan for the loss brings joy to God. That's why it's key to invite people to church or to notice those around us, to reach out to sinners, to reach out and serve those that are going through, to reach out those that have found themselves in a ditch, to reach out to those and to keep our arms and our hearts open to those that are away from God. It brings joy. That's where you find true joy, is when you and I decide to live a life as a soul winner. That's kind of old school word, like 8-track tapes, mood ring, parachute pants. Help me. Don't act like you didn't wear them parachute pants. Somebody in here wore puka shells. Talk to me. I was there. Soul winning is kind of a forgotten word, but I believe one of the greatest ways that you can tap into joy in your life and find strength is when you dedicate your life to giving out the grace that you've already received. Putting your life online. Saddest believers I know are those who no longer are reaching. That's the saddest believers I know. They no longer are reaching out. And if they're no longer reaching out, guess what? They're no longer rejoicing. And if they're no longer rejoicing, there is no strength. There is no strength. See, it all boils down for each of us that His joy is our priority. Let me ask you that. Is the joy of God a priority in your life? The joy of God. Lord, I want you to make me happy. I want you to make me happy. I want you to have me. And you know what we do? We live our life trying to find things to make us happy. Not concerned. Maybe it's not even on the list. What is it that brings joy to God? We're more concerned about what brings joy to me. I've got to find something that will bring joy to me. We're not concerned about God's joy. And so what happens in our life is we drain our life looking for things that will bring joy into our life. And guess what? They can't. And then we wake up and say, I have no strength in this marriage. I have no strength to face this temptation. Where has my strength gone? It's not an issue of strength. It's an issue of living a life that's after making God happy. Because when you find His joy, guess what you find? You'll find your strength. His joy, our strength. Here's the second thing that I wanted to give you. Just, I believe God wants you to know that He wants our campuses. He wants this house, this home. We talked about how God has helped us to build a house, but now we go about making it a home. Our own homes, our workplace, where we go to school. I believe God wants it to be houses of joy. I believe God wants our home to be a house of joy. I believe He wants our campuses to be a house of joy. I believe He wants this church to be a house of joy. When you think about it, what was it that was happening that caused Nehemiah to link all this? What was the promises that were going on? It's because Nehemiah had linked himself to a front burner object, a front burner topic, a front burner thought of, let's give ourselves to the Word of God. The reason why he was able to talk about the joy is because he linked it to the people honoring and giving themselves to the Word of God. Here's what I'm convinced. I'm convinced that our campuses, I'm convinced that our houses, I'm convinced that this church has been built to proclaim the Word of God. Train in the Word of God, instruct, share the Word of God, and we do that. It's amazing what he will do when the Word of God goes forth. Because guess what? The Word of God can do something that we can't do. The Word of God can go further than we could go. The Word of God can do things in people's lives that you and I could never do in our life. We're trying to fix our marriage. We're trying to help our children. All those things are important. But I'm here to tell you right now that the Word of God can do more than anything. Speaking the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, living for the Word of God, placing the Word of God as priority. And so when the Word of God was priority, as Nehemiah and Ezra and everyone gathered together, and it was just so, yes, yes, what are they saying? Amen, amen, amen. We want to do all that. We want our life to be about all those things. Everything they read, yes, that's it too. Oh, yeah, I need that in my life. Woo, one more time. Gosh, I thought it was over. There's another thing that I need in my life. Yes, 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 to the Word of God. Then Nehemiah stood up and said, because you've given yourself to the Word of God, it's become sacred now. It's become priority. And you know what? Walk in God's joy. Amen. The Word of God became fertile ground to tap into the joy of God. I believe it makes God happy when you and I put the Word of God first in our life. First in our life. I believe God is pleased with Dino Rizzo when I put the Word of God first in my life. First in my resources. First in my family. First in my private life. First in my public life. First priority. I believe God is pleased. See, the Word of God can heal. The Word of God can capture lost hearts. The Word of God can deliver. It can save. It can ignite. The Word of God convicts. The Word of God restores. The Word of God sets free. The Word of God will guide you and direct you. The Word of God can do what you and I can't do. And it is meant to be responded by a amen, amen, yes, yes, amen, amen, regardless of anything else. How many know sometimes you've got to stand on the Word of God when everything else is going crazy? How many people have had a crazy day? Anybody know somebody crazy? Here's it. How many in this room, you acted crazy? The Word of God, regardless. Lastly, I believe He wants you to know this. I want you to receive this one. To not let your life get absorbed into the many, 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 many counterfeit joys. So readily available today. On this Sunday. Right now. This afternoon. Tonight. When everybody goes to bed. Tomorrow. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Counterfeit joys are available everywhere. Don't get absorbed into all the counterfeit joys that are out there. I had an older man tell me this. God, it was years ago. I was talking to him. He's an older gentleman. Goodness, probably 25 years older than me. He's probably 35. I just started pastoring. He wanted to meet with me. We went to lunch. He sat across the table shaking. I will never forget this lunch. And he said, you know what? I've lost everything. I've lost my marriage. I've lost the respect of my children. I've lost most of my income. I've lost my friends. I don't know how many houses and camps and boats and trailers and guns and four-wheelers that I have gone through. I am a man that is in my senior years and I am lonely. He said, you know what I discovered? I was climbing the ladder of success. I was climbing hard for everything and everybody to get to the top of the ladder and find out it was leaning against the wrong place. I'll never forget, I was in Sammy's restaurant. Come on, somebody, Industrialplex in the house. And he looked across and said, my ladder was leaning against the wrong place. And now I'm a senior adult, and I have wasted all these years. How many knows at that point, I didn't want to eat no more smothered pork chops. I don't want to eat nothing. I remember sitting there saying, Lord, whatever it takes, embed this into my heart. I believe God wants you to know that there's a world full of counterfeit joys that cannot deliver in our life. They promise to deliver, and you know what? They don't deliver. They just don't deliver. Let me ask you a question. Do you have God's joy? Is God your joy? Have you lost your joy? Dino, I thought my whole life was a strength issue. Now I found out it was a joy issue. I pray that this house will become a house of joy. I felt like last night as I was praying that the Lord spoke to my heart, said this will be a house of joy for people.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.